Yeah, Mr. Roboto by Styx. And there's a good reason I'm playing that. This is Friar Phil, of course, and it's Friar Phil Show. I'm playing that song because coming up after our guest, I'm going to talk a little bit about umpires and how crappy they've been and why I think it's time for us to get some robotic umpires that call the balls and strikes. And before we get to the guest, I want to tell you something about Josh Naylor. He was one of my favorite Padres, even though he didn't really produce very well. But I had a special place in my baseball heart for Josh Naylor because he really tried his best to get on this team this year. He lost 25 pounds in the offseason and looks great now, and he just was a person who impressed me as a human being and as a baseball player. So one of the first calls Naylor received after being traded was from his younger brother, Bo. Bo is the Indians' number three prospect. Josh said, "My family loved it. They were excited and happy and over the moon. Hopefully the stars align. Me and him are in the same lineup one day and to get to hang out every day and hopefully live together." So Josh Naylor being traded to Cleveland was a wonderful thing for him. And that probably was part of the decision AJ Preller made as well to trade him to Cleveland, because his brother Bo, who is again the Indians' number three prospect, is in their system. All right. Now, my guest today is, his handle on the Twitter is Can't Stop, Won't Stop. He ran into me literally, or almost. I was walking up from my house to the corner store, and I started to cross the street, and his car was coming, and he slowed down the car, and he yelled something out the window. I didn't hear it first. So I'm thinking, oh my God, I've pissed off somebody. I've walked out in front of somebody's car, and they're going to come out and yell at me. The next thing I hear when I get farther across the street is, "Friar Phil, Friar Phil." And sure enough, it was Quincy, our guest today, and we met that way. So I want to say hello to Quincy, Can't Stop, Won't Stop on Twitter. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Phil?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm happy that we're going to see Clevinger tonight. It's a sunshine day, and it should be a good game tonight. I don't see us having any problem beating the Angels again.
Yeah, it should be a great day. I'm excited to see him get out there and really throw that ball, man. I think everybody's, you know.
Now, the whole city is a buzz because of this team.
It's jumping right now. Everybody's excited. Everybody's ready to see how far we can go. Make sure that this isn't a fluke. You know, I mean, I kind of pinch myself every day just to see, you know, what the players that we've brought in, you know, and the, you know, it's sad to see the players go, but you know, that's the business side of things, you know. So,
and it happens, you know. He had no choice, like with Hedges. You know, I liked Hedges, but I can see the rationale of trading him and getting in new catchers, because we need to be able to manufacture runs when we have the bases loaded. We don't need people striking out or you know, hitting one to the shortstop and hitting into a double play. We just don't need that. And we won't be able to get close to the Dodgers in the playoffs if we don't have that. So I'm glad AJ made the moves. All right, let's talk about you for a minute. One of the reasons I'm doing these podcasts is to get to know different people on Padres Twitter. We see each other randomly some of the time, like we met, or we get together in the fourth inning at the stadium when we're allowed to be there for the Padres Twitter meetup, but we don't really know about each other very well. So tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got interested in baseball, some of your background.
Well, shoot, I was pretty much, you know, brave into the Padres situation. You know, I was actually born in Baltimore, you know what I mean? But I was raised in San Diego, you know. My parents and one of my best buddies who lived down the street from me in my neighborhood, you know what I mean? His dad, they always went to games. I was always going to games with them. You know, this is at a young age. This is, you know, when I was 5, 6, 7, you know.
Yeah, that's when I started, when I was 6. Yeah. It was the first game that my father took me to. And I was 6 years old when we went to Shea Stadium to see the Mets in that Miracle Mets year of 1969. Okay, sorry.
No worries. And then I've played baseball as in Little League, you know, from Little League on up. And so I've always played baseball, but baseball has always been a sport that I love, you know what I mean? And I've just been a Padre. So like I've been through the Padres, you know, through our ups, downs, through everything. And I'm just, you know, and I knew eventually we would turn it around, you know what I mean? It's just a matter of time, you know what I mean? It's just you can't give up on them, you know what I mean? And I see it just coming in a full circle, you know? And I'm just so happy, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the city needs it, you know, it really does.
It's really something, and I knew we were going to get here, I grew up with the New York Mets. And, you know, the Mets weren't very good most of the time. So I've been very patient with the Padres. I've been here since 1999. And I liked the team immediately. I liked them when I saw them in the 1998 World Series. And I have been patient with them, as you have seemed to have been, too. And now we're getting the reward, I think, for all our patience and support of them. Over the time, exactly.
I mean, you got to have the patience, you know. And, you know, patience will bring out a big reward. You know what I mean? And, you know, and my thing is, you know, you know, everybody's like, you know, you guys are going all in right now, and it's not just about, you know, we're talking about the 2021 season too. We're not just talking about. So regardless, if we do make it to the World Series or win, and if we don't, that's fine. But next year we're still going to be stacked. You know what I mean, for a full season. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to be stacked. So we're not just talking about for this season. You know, we're talking about for years to come. You know,
yeah, I'm not going to be satisfied until we win the division title and we put the Dodgers in second place. Oh, yeah. Am I going to love that day with all the cocky Dodger fans that contact me some of the time? It'll make me an orgasm.
Yeah, I can't stand them. So I was so hoping that they was going to lose last night, you know what I mean? And they came back. But that's the Dodgers. I mean, you can't really fault them. Dodgers are good. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, we're right now, you know, to be honest, the Dodgers right now are the favorites right now. But I'll tell you what, we are right on their heels. Like, when I say on their heel, we're right, like, holding their pockets.
I think ESPN or somebody said that we're the second best team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
The Padres, the second best team in Major League Baseball. Yes. That's incredible to me. And like you said, I've got to pinch myself every day. I prepare myself to have one of my Angry Fire Phil videos, you know, with a loss, and we keep winning. So that's fine with me. I'll be the calm, nice Friar Phil if we keep on winning these games. But I know where you're coming from with that. You know, we just don't want something to happen this year. We want this to continue on for a number of years, just like the Dodgers have carried on for a number of years with their team.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And just with us being a small market team, doing what we're doing, You know, I appreciate Peter. What is it? I think it's Peter Seiler. And Ron Fowler and AJ, what they've done. They've really put the city on their back, and they've really tried to put it out there. And I'm so appreciative. And I'm telling you, I just wish the stadium was open, because it would be, oh my God, this city, it would be going so crazy.
It would be packed. Absolutely packed now. And that's the thing that gets me down a little bit, because I'm looking forward to the game tonight. But again, I got to stop myself and say, wait, you can't go to the stadium because of the COVID thing. So I hope this resolves itself by next season so we can go back.
Yes. I mean that's what I can. And not to the subject, but I love all the moves that we did make. You know what I mean? We only got rid of. I think it was two, if anything, like the top. I think we got rid of Cotillo and Tremille. I think in Potts. You know what I mean? But we're still in line. We still have. I think we're like the third in prospects as far as the farm system. You know what I mean? We really haven't lost nothing. I mean, it's like we still kept Gore, Abram, Patino, Capisano, Moran, Wilcox, Weathers, Baez. We still have The top 13 players, So it's like, sometimes, and then a lot of those players that we had, I think they were blocked, right? If I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, sometimes, you can hold on to these farm system players for so long, but if there's an opportunity to break something wide open, you got to take it.
Absolutely. I equate it to having money in the bank in a savings account. And you have money in there and you deposit, and you get, $10,000 in the bank. I wish I had that, but just theoretically, you get $10,000 in the bank. And if you just let it sit there, it's useless. So if you go and spend a couple of $1,000s on a little trip for yourself or something, it's all good, because you still have $7,000 more. And that's how I feel about the way the farm system is for the club. Now, I want to ask you a question, and it goes back to, we just had Jackie Robinson Day the other day. Mm-hmm. And one of the things Jackie said when he was alive, when they, I forget what they did. They retired the number, or it was some kind of ceremony. He said he wants to come back and hopefully see more black faces in the dugouts as managers and upper management people. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that hasn't come true. I don't like it, I don't think I'm not the type of person that thinks somebody should get the job based on their skin color. But I mean, it's very white bread as far as the management of teams go. And there are so many black players that are fantastic players that would make great managers. I don't understand why we don't have them. But I wanted to see if you could share your thoughts about that.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of sad, because that's a society that I think we're in now. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say that we kind of get frowned upon, but I mean, it's not just baseball too. I mean, that's also when we have issues like that in basketball. You know what I mean? There's only a couple. Well, there's a little bit of coaches in basketball. There's not that many coaches in basketball that are black, honestly. And then same with football. I mean, you might look at, maybe we might have, they're trying to do better in football too, as far as having, I think there might be like five black coaches in football. Don't quote me on that, I could be wrong. But yeah, I mean, that's something that needs to come to head. You know what I mean? I mean, right now, I think it's if I'm mistaken, I think it's what's his name from I think it's Baker for who's in Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of no other black coach right now.
Oh, Dave up with the Dodgers.
Dave Roberts for the Dodgers, and so now and who else? I mean, that's it. So I mean, I definitely would like to see more because you know they're just as good, and I don't know if they look at them like maybe they're not. I'm not gonna say they're not looking at them like as if they're not qualified, but I would like for them to get pushed into that office a lot more.
Well, I really would, to
that position because you know. Don't look at it just for the color. Look at them for their qualifications, you know, because if they fit that qualification, then give them that chance, you know. You know, we have to, you know, I mean, stop that narrative and really give everybody a chance, you know. And that goes for all sports, you know. That goes for all sports.
Well, all sports and all life in society here in the United States. I mean, you know, we're going through a struggle now with these insane bigot cops strangling people. And there was another incident just the other day in Rochester where they put a hood on this guy. He was going crazy and running naked through the streets, so they got him. They put a hood on him and then pushed his face down to the ground, and the guy asphyxiated. Yeah, so there you go again. These were white cops. White.
Yeah, they pretty much overdid, set their boundaries, and at that point, you hear this here. You have five or six or seven cops there, you know, on one guy. Why are you guys still strangling him? Why are you guys still, you know what I mean? Why are you guys still pushing his head to the ground? Why is he still handcuffed? After him stopped moving, you guys still have him handcuffed. At that point, you should have turned him over and did CPR. They didn't even. I watched the video. They didn't even want to take the handcuffs off after the ambulance got there. I was like, "Yes, we need the handcuffs off. We have to perform CPR."
Yeah, I mean, what crime did he commit besides streaking and running around naked and showing off his bits? You know, that's it. So, what's with the handcuffs?
I mean, you know, but not just that. I mean, here's you have seven officers. If he's naked, you know what that means, right? He don't have a weapon on him.
Right.
So it's like, you know, here you got seven officers. You guys can't take down one naked guy, you know, without using excessive force. And so, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I think they just kind of overstep their boundaries, you know what I mean? It's like, and like I said, I praise the cops for what they do out there because they put their life in harm's way. Like I said, there are some cops that give the good cops a bad name.
Yeah.
There really is. Because there are good cops out there, and I know that. But at the same time, the bad cops are giving all the good cops bad names. And you know, that's what's given so much hatred in the world for the officers, for the cops right now, because there is no love for them right now, and it sucks. It sucks. You know what I mean? It sucks. It really does.
And one of the problems is this goes into politics a little bit, but during the Bush crime family administration, they passed a law that let police departments recruit former inmates from jail. So you're getting, you know, these crazy bastards, you know, who are not really murderers or anything, but, you know, simple assault and stuff like that, but criminals that can apply to be a police officer. So you get these rotten people in there, you get some of these rotten eggs, and it makes the rest of them look bad. We have a good police force here in San Diego. Fortunately, we haven't had any issues with them that sort of thing, but you know it's only a matter of time where we get a rogue cop, you know, that thinks he's got to be all tough and shit, that does something to another human being which shouldn't be done.
I agree, you know, like I said, it's the bad ones that's making the good ones look terrible. So hopefully we get past all this. I really wanted to, you know, and just get back to normal, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it sucks that people are at that point where they thought they can't even trust the police, you know?
Yeah, it's bad. All right. If you had to make a lineup, or not a lineup, a decision on a rotation, what would your rotation look like? Who would you have pitching first and second, third and fifth, fourth and fifth?
Well, shoot. I would have Clevenger starting. You know, as far as the rotation, well, I would have one Clevenger, Levitt second, and I would throw in Davies at third, and then I would throw. It's a toss up right now, but I would throw Paddock in fourth, and then Richards at fifth. But that's a toss up between those two because they both kind of been struggling. Paddock and Richards, you know what I mean? Paddock and Richards been kind of struggling. But the only problem, and look, and trust me, I love CP, I love Chris Paddock, but sometimes his
persona is kind of crappy. I think it's crappy because it this cowboy shit. Well, that was a surprise. That was a phone. What I was saying is the persona of Paddock sucks sometimes because we got so caught up in the sheriff persona.
Yeah,
and you know that's all well and good, but the bottom line is you got to do good on the mound. Fortunately, right. He got better. He did well. Richards did well too. So I hope they keep it up.
Yeah. And I hope they can keep it up. And like I said, the only problem with that I have, you know, with both of them is sometimes they're. Especially with Paddock, you know what I mean? Trust me, I love Paddock. I love his fire. I love everything he has. But sometimes his ball placement at times, and it just gets a little bit too much down the plate. You know, he tries to overpower him too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he'll throw the fastball right. I mean, meat fastball, and he has to realize that, you know, we're not in the pros. You know, I mean, we are in the pros, and these players will catch up to that fastball, and they'll swing first pitch because they know that, you know, they have film on the guy. They know he likes to throw first pitch fastball. So you know what they're going to be looking for, that first pitch fastball. You know, and it's like so sometimes I think he needs to just. You know, I love when he throws the high fastball and when he throws out the zone, but it looks like it's coming down the plate and it goes high because a lot of people go for that. And he's worked in that curveball, and he's worked in that that changeup. So he's become that three pitch pitcher, you know. And I feel like if he can come up with maybe one more pitch, he's just going to be something. Just, you know, he's nice, you know.
Yeah, I think he needs one more too.
Right. And I just need, and within these next, you know, couple games, I need the Garrett Richards from the Angels. I need that Garrett Richards, you know. And like I said, last game, he had a great game. I loved it, you know. And so as long as our rotation, our starting rotation is just good and everybody's just, you know, up to par and pitching their ass off, I'm fine. I'm telling you, our rotation is nice. Lambie is just getting lights out. You know, besides him giving up that home run yesterday, but that's, you know, he let that one leak over the middle, and that's Trout. You know,
yeah, that's, I mean? Mike Trout. You expect something like that to happen with Mike Trout, you know?
You can't pitch something like that over Mike Trout, you know, because Mike is going to make you pay, you know? So, you know, and but after that, you know, he settled down and he came back and he started, you know, he was striking everybody out. You know, he fooled Pujols also on a nice pitching sequence, you know? So, It's just gonna be nice to watch, and I can't wait. Davies has just been lights out, you know. It's just, I love it. And then the main pickup I love is Trevor Rosenthal, man. He's
oh yeah,
my God.
He's lights out.
He's gonna be excellent. Him and him. You got him, Drew Pomer. Oh my gosh. Oh my God!
What do you think, or how do you think we're going to do with the Oakland series?
That's the next series that I'm worried about. That right there is going to show us what's going on with us right there. That's going to show that these other games weren't flukes and weren't just, you know, you know what I mean. Even though every team we play is they're a professional team and they're going to ball out, but this Oakland series, I think, what is it a two-game series?
I think it's a, yeah, it goes right after this one. There's no travel day tomorrow, yeah. So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, that right there, that you know, because them boys is playing lights out. And this right here, and I was hoping, you know, that we were going to save Mike Clare for, like, you know, for the Oakland game, or at least he could be a lineup for the Dodgers series. That's what I was hoping for, you know. But he's pitching today, so I don't know if he'll be in line to be able to pitch for the for any of the Oakland series. You know, I saw the what they were asking. I think it was supposed to be, it'll be Richards will be pitching one of those Oakland games, and I think Paddock will be too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think, but you know, like I said, we match up well. You know, we're hitting lights out. We match up well, and that right there is just going to show everything. That really is. That's because, like I said, they're playing lights out. They are.
Oh, so. Yeah, definitely, they're playing good, and we have to be sharp on defense, and we have to be sharp on what we're hitting. You know, not be so anxious to swing at the ball and hit into a double play. Just, you know, work the count, wait for the pitch coming towards you that you know that you're going to hit. All right, we're out of time almost. I got to finish up the podcast with talking about robotic umpires. So it was good giving you a call and talking to you today. Thanks always, for coming on, Quincy.
Always feel that. All right, man. You take care, man. And I will definitely see you. Hopefully, you know, when these games get back up and we're at the stadium, you know, we'll definitely see each other, man. And,
Sure. We're basically in the same neighborhood too. So
yeah, most definitely. So we'll definitely and we'll, let's get this win tonight, man. Honestly, so it's Mike Clav Day.
Sunshine Day.
Sunshine Day.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Let's go, Padres.
Yeah. Let's go, Padres. Okay, so on the subject of umpires, they have sucked lately. They have sucked. They're calling balls strikes, calling striked balls. It's horrible. And these incompetent goddamn umpires are affecting games. They've affected us. They've affected our opponents at times. And it's driving me fucking crazy. And we need to put a stop to it. We need to do something. Major League Baseball needs to do something. And I think the umpires wouldn't like this. You know, those little pissy robots taking our job. Well, if you were doing it correctly, you wouldn't need a robotic thing to tell you what's really balls and strikes. But I think the time has come. I'm not talking about like a human android looking thing calling balls and strikes, just a machine that is almost like a the gun they use to see the speed of pitches and stuff. Just something like that. Something robotic, something mechanical that's fail-safe, that can call the balls and strikes the way they come in and the way they're supposed to be. There's got to be a way to do that, because the umpires, for the most part, behind the plate are too goddamn inconsistent. Like I said, it's balls for strikes. You know, and you can clearly see in the strike zone, if you're on your computer during the game and stuff and you're at home and you got game day on, they show you where the balls come in. And you can see where balls way out of the zone are called strikes, and where balls that hit the strike zone are called balls. It's ridiculous. It's time Major League Baseball does something. You know, in any other job, I don't give a damn what job it is. Any job you work in, you can't be incompetent doing it. If you're incompetent, you get fired. So why do these umpires that are so goddamn incompetent, that can't call balls and strikes correctly, why are they still employed? like I said, I think it's time that we look at the possibility of having that robotic sort of creature or thing or box or whatever the hell you want to call it, to call the balls and strikes in these games, because it's getting to the goddamn ridiculous point. Every night I have to get upset because I see balls that are strikes and strikes that are balls. All right, there's the music. We're out of time. Great talking with Quincy, finally. And he's a really good guy. Get to know him on Twitter. He's Can't Stop, Won't Stop on Twitter. That's his Twitter name. All right, everybody, take care.
Another pack in the freezer?